Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Monday night, 7 o'clock, right here on the Team 980. The Terps open up their 2024-2025 basketball season. Manhattan is in town at Xfinity Center. You can tune in here at 6 o'clock for the pregame show. Kevin Willard, of course, is the head coach of the Terps, entering his third year. He joins us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. So last year, people were open. You were scheming people open, but nobody could make shots. Have you fixed that problem?
Yeah. I hope, Kevin, because, you know, obviously it was difficult last year. You know, I defensively, we were top 10 in the country, and then offensively, we were bottom 10 in the country. It's just not a good mix, but you know, I think we've brought some guys in. Some guys have gotten older. And, you know, right now, you know, as the season progresses, I think we can be a much better shooting team.
Before we get to that, I'm just curious. Did you have a sense before last year started? I mean, Dante could shoot it. Kaiser seemed to have a good stroke. Jameer could shoot it. But did you have a sense that that was going to be an area that you guys struggled in?
I didn't think we'd be a strong shooting team, but I didn't think we'd be that bad of a shooting team. And I think, you know, two big things, you know, a freshman always struggle. It's just the way it is, especially last year with the COVID year and the 6 year guys, I think just playing against such, you know, grown men, we technically played two bigs most of the year, which I think really hurt us at times, especially in close games.
So, this year, tell me who ends up taking the majority of those open shots.
Yeah, I mean, we brought a transfer in from Belmont, Jacoby Gillespie, and another, you know, two other transfers, Rodney Rice and Selt Miguel. We brought three guys in that historically data shows that, you know, they're great catch and shoot guys, high 40s off catch and shoot. So I think those three guys will probably take the majority of those shots. It's just something that where last year we were kind of Jameer Young heavy because we were kind of forced to a little bit. I think this year we'll have a much better balanced attack. We'll spread out the shots more evenly. And I think when you do that, you'll shoot better.
We'll get to, you know, a couple of the players coming back, Reese and Deshaun Harris-Smith and your freshman in a moment. But just overall, defensively, you feel better about what you've added from a catch-and-shoot three-point spot, you know, spot with Gillespie, Miguel, and Rice. How will you be defensively? Because you guys really were an incredible defensive team last year.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, it's funny. When you go back and look at it, you know, most, I think 10 of the last 12 champions have been top 25 in both offense and defense. There
Ken
was
Pom.
One anonymous. Yeah, KenPom. And I think that's something that, you know, we were willing to sacrifice our defense a little bit to be a better offensive team. And I think that's something that we're looking at and that we've done this year with the roster is I still think we're going to be very good defensively. I just don't think we're not going to put as much emphasis on that end and try to, you know, again, we couldn't press last year because we couldn't score. So I think we could be better defensively in the full court. I just think we're going to sacrifice a little bit in the half court so we can shoot the ball better.
I can't tell you how many people would say to me, why aren't they pressing more? And I just said, well, you do have to usually score to set up the press. It's a lot easier to press after you've scored.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, and that was something that, last year's team, although it was a disappointing year, when you're in transition defense as much as we were because of how poorly we shot the ball, it's usually very hard to be a good defensive team. And I thought last year's team, although we struggled to score, still gave unbelievable effort on the defensive end to keep us in the games. And I think that was huge because at least we had a chance to be in games because of our defense.
I totally agree. We were talking to Kevin Willard, the head coach of Maryland. They've got Manhattan. They've got a very, very interesting non-conference schedule before they get into the Big Ten with a couple of games early in December. So let's start with your five-star freshman, Derek Queen. What kind of freshman year do you envision him having?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, Derek is a unique player for the fact that, he's an old school type post player, but has an unbelievable feel for the game and can step out, pass the basketball, dribble the basketball. I think Derek's going to have a very, very good freshman year. I just think he plays at his own pace, Kevin, which is usually very, very, freshmen just usually the game is too fast for them their first year. I think what's unique about Derek is he's able to play at his own pace. And I think that's why I think he's going to have a very good freshman year.
Yeah, it's interesting that you described it that way because I don't think, just watching a bunch of, we've seen highlights, you see him every day, but it doesn't seem like you can speed him up. And, I don't necessarily need a comp, but I'm not about to say that he's the next Jokic, but in the way you watch Jokic and he never seems to be hurried and he's got great feel and great vision for the game. I sort of envision him playing that style of basketball. Is that accurate or not?
Yeah, no, I think that's totally accurate. And it's funny, all the NBA scouts that come to practice, they all say, well, if he was European right now, everybody would be going crazy about him because of how good of a passer is and how great of a feel he has for the game. And I think that's something that as more people see Derek, they're going to realize that, you don't have to be super athletic to dominate a game.
So tell me about Juju. Julian Reese coming back, this is rare for, a player of his ability to not just play 4 years in college, but really specifically 4 years at one school. The relationship that you've developed with him and what you see for him in his final year in College Park.
Yeah, I just think it shows, what type of person Julian is. I mean, I think the first and foremost, he really wanted to get his degree from the University of Maryland. That was really important to him. And when we sat down after the season, I gave him specific things I wanted him to get better at. He gave me specific things that he wanted to see. And I have so much respect for Julian because, again, one of his main goals was, he's the coach. I want to get my degree from the University of Maryland. I'm a Baltimore guy. I want to get that degree. And he goes, I want to be one of the best that ever played at Maryland. So I think, he has a true love for this university. He really loves the fan base. I think the fan base has been great for him. So I think it just shows you the type of character that Julian has that, it was never really an issue about, is he going to leave? It's just, he wanted to make sure that he was able to get the specific goals.
What were the things you wanted to see him improve at?
The biggest thing for me, Kevin, and it was kind of simple. We both agreed was we had to really get his free throw percentage up. It's something that we threw him the ball and he had more paint touches besides Zach Edey. And so when you throw the ball down into someone so much, I wanted to see his assist turnover ratio get flipped over, and I needed to see his free throws go up because being a 52%, 53% free throw shooter and getting the ball so much, I just needed to get that up to 75%. And then he would average 19 points a game and 10 rebounds and be a first-team All-Big Ten player.
How do you see the two of them, Queen and Reese, playing together?
Yeah, you know what? It's been fun to see them kind of feel each other's games out. We've practiced with them together. We've also spent a lot of time with them going at each other so they can get each other better. I think the biggest thing that we've seen in the two scrimmages that we've played is that, someone has to put a four man on either Derek or Julian. And it hasn't worked out well for either four man that tried to guard them. So I think the biggest thing we're going to do is look at the mismatches that whoever four man's guarding either one of those, we've we've pounded the ball inside. They've passed the ball extremely well together. They've played very well together, and we've played well when they've been out there.
I wanted to ask you just about maybe a player that a lot of the fans like me have not been talking about. I know a few people that have come out and watched you practice a few times, and the name Malachi Palmer keeps popping up. Tell me about that freshman player and what you're expecting from him.
Yeah, Malachi has been, you know, we knew how good he was. We've watched Malachi for almost 2.5 years, so we knew how good of a player he was. What's really, really surprised us about Malachi is how much he's picked up the college system from defensive schemes, offensive schemes. He's got a relentless work ethic. He has a great passion for wanting to make it. So he's the first one in the gym in the morning. He hasn't missed an early morning workout all year. He's just very driven. He has the physical makeup to be able to play right away. And now, because he's worked so hard, he's starting to really pick up the game. He's going to be a special one.
Deshaun Harris-Smith, freshman year. I mean, those of us that watched him in high school, you know he's a man coming into college physically. You had significant high hopes for him. Offensively, he struggled at times, especially as a shooter. What do you see from him on the offensive end this year? Has he improved in that area?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing that people I thought Deshaun had a really, really good freshman year. You know, if you take away the shooting struggles, his assist turnover ratio for a freshman was good. He played the seventh most minutes as a freshman in high major basketball. You know, I think he did so many good things out there. He has worked relentlessly on his shooting. I don't think he's ever going to be a shooter, and that's not really why I love his game so much. He makes everyone better. He has a great feel for the game. I think he's understood that, okay, I'm a really good passer. I have a great ability to get in the lane. I just think last year you go from physically dominating high school to now all of a sudden realizing that, you know, I need to change some things in my game, and he has worked really hard to make those changes.
How are you feeling just overall heading into this season? Last year, 16-17, we've already talked about why. You were an outstanding defensive team. It wasn't from a lack of getting open shots. It was from a lack of making shots. This season is a season with high expectations. How would you describe the expectations?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, again, obviously we were really disappointed with how last year went, but you know, it was a good learning experience for myself, the staff, about, you know, roster management, you know, how to handle NIL and the transfer portal, where last year we really didn't hit the transfer portal overly hard. You know, we relied a lot more on freshmen. I think this year we realized that, you know, you have to have a great balance of bringing some older guys in, but also having some young kids in to keep everything balanced. So, I think we learned a lot from last year, and I'm really excited about this year.
The last one, Kevin, the schedule. Next year is when Georgetown, Maryland resume next year in College Park, followed by, you know, going to Capital One, et cetera. You got a series with Virginia as well that starts, I think, next year. But still, the non-conference schedule, Marquette, you know, here early, Villanova, you've got Syracuse. Am I right in saying this is your first schedule for the most part?
Yeah, this is the first one that we've we're still tied into two tournaments going in the future that, you know, again, we're probably not going to do that many more tournaments just because of, you know, the two December Big Ten games really throw a wrinkle into your schedule. How you schedule going into those two big, because those two games are huge. How you schedule going into those games and really how you schedule after those two games is really big. And the one thing I found that's challenging about scheduling at Maryland is, We have a monster finals break. I think this year it's almost 11 days where we can't play games. So it's kind of hindered us a little bit of, I want to add one more home and home series, someone, you know, on the East Coast that we can bust to. It's just trying to balance out our final schedules with the two Big Ten games. And, you know, obviously the SEC, ACC final schedules are a little bit different than ours.
Best of luck. Really rooting for you. I'll see you out there, I'm sure. Thanks for doing this. Hope you're well.
No, thanks, Kev. Always great being on.
Yep. Kevin Willard, everybody. Maryland and Manhattan on Monday night, 7 o'clock, right here on the Team 980. Tickets are available at umd.edu. They've got a Friday night, November 15th game at home against Marquette. Marquette's ranked in the top 20. They've got games against Villanova. I think that's up in Jersey, Syracuse in the non-con, and the two Big Ten games that Kevin just referred to, December 4th, a Wednesday night against Ohio State at home to kick off the Big Ten schedule, and then they go on Sunday, December 8th, to face no more Zach Edey, thank God. But they go to 14th-ranked, preseason 14th-ranked Purdue, and that kicks off the Big Ten schedule. I mean, they got Oregon on the schedule. They got UCLA. They got USC on the schedule with the four West Coast teams. They play a game at Washington. I should have asked them about that. They got to go to Washington on January 2nd, which means they're traveling on New Year's Day. And they've got to go to Oregon. Both of those games are actually within 3 days of each other, so they get to stay out there to face Washington and Oregon. I would imagine that for the far East Coast Big Ten teams, Maryland, Rutgers primarily, maybe even Penn State to a certain degree, when you have to go out to face, you know, USC, UCLA, Washington, and Oregon, they'll try to back those games up so the team can just stay out there. I would think that that's what they're going to do scheduling-wise moving forward. Looking forward to it. I actually think they're very underrated going into this season. They're not in anybody's preseason top 25. They're in a couple of those, you know, just outside or, you know, kind of in that top 30 to 35 range. Being picked somewhere between 6th and 9th in the Big Ten, somewhere around there. I think they're better than that. And man, did they play hard last year defensively. That was a really good defensive team. They just could not make shots. There were so many games that were winnable if they could have just knocked down some shots. Big year in College Park, that's for sure. We'll get to our NFL power rankings next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, and the Team980.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rank 'em 1 to 5.
I've got the power!
NFL Power Rankings.
Did you put the Eagles into your top 5 this week?
No, I did not. Should I put the Eagles into my top 5? Maybe I should.
I just thought that might piss some people off if we put them in there and didn't have Washington in there. Top 5 teams. All right, I'm just going with who I think the top 5 teams are in the league right now. All right, I don't care about recent losses. I don't care about undefeated versus not undefeated or records or whatever. I still think Baltimore is the best team in the league, even though they lost last week at Cleveland. I still think that Kansas City, even though they're winning close games and even though Patrick Mahomes isn't putting up numbers, is right there. It's like 1 and 1A between Baltimore and KC. Detroit's 3. By the way, it looks like Jameson Williams could be out for a little bit. Like, there's some issues there with him. 4 for me would be the Packers. Now, they got to have Jordan Love. I'm not, you know, the Packers are not a top 5 team with Malik Willis, although it's amazing what Matt LaFleur, Tom Clements, and company are able to do with Malik Malik Willis. Just an amazing job that they do with quarterbacks and offense and just coaching the football team. Matt LaFleur just, I don't think, gets the credit he deserves for being an outstanding head coach. But I've got the Packers at 4, and Houston's out of my top 5. I'm going to put Buffalo in at 5 right now. You know, the addition of Amari Cooper certainly will help out. I think, you know, teams like Washington and Houston are just, you know, on the outside of the top five. They, you know, Pittsburgh probably is right on the outside of the top five. I'm sure Philly is coming, you know, soon enough. But that's my top five. Baltimore, KC, Detroit, Green Bay, Buffalo.
So ours do look a little different. I have Kansas City at number one. I'm just anticipating that at some point they're going to turn a corner offensively and Mahomes is going to stop throwing interceptions. You know, he's throwing a bunch of silly ones. Not all his fault, but just kind of the way that the ball is falling for them this year. And they're still, yet they're still unbeaten. It's insane. But I think they're going to turn a corner at some point. So I still have them at number one. I have Detroit at number two. I think their offense is firing on all cylinders right now. They look really, really good. Jared Goff had a hell of a start to the season. And then shortly behind them, I have Baltimore. I think Baltimore and Detroit are super close. It just comes down to, at this point, I trust the offense a little bit more for Detroit than I do for Baltimore. I trust Lamar more than I trust Jared Goff, but I trust Ben Johnson a lot more than I do Monken in Baltimore. So I have Detroit just slightly above the Baltimore Ravens. I'm a little concerned defensively about, one, Kyle Hamilton, but just Baltimore as a whole. It doesn't feel like they are as on the same page as they normally are. And to this point, you know, you're 8-9 weeks into the season, like that to me starts at least a little bit of cause of concern. I have Buffalo at 4 right now just because Josh Allen is playing at an MVP level. And then I have Washington at 5 right now, not knowing what the status of Jordan Love is, but also at the same time, like, I really love Jordan Love. I really love the Packers offense. I really love Matt LaFleur. But there is something about them that leads me to believe that if Washington were to square up against them, I would take Washington in that one. So I got Washington above Green Bay at number 5.
You know, you just said something and I thought about it the other day. Like, I was thinking about, what are the games that are going to be true measuring stick games? We kind of discussed the Ravens game as a measuring stick game, and they measured up. You know, they did. They certainly measured up offensively. They did not defensively in that game. Well, you have one next Sunday, not this coming Sunday, against the Steelers at home. You've got two against the Eagles. You know, those are the games. Like, but the teams that you're mentioning are the explosive offensive teams. I know Philadelphia can be explosive. Philadelphia is very talented. And those two games will be, I think, big tests for Washington as a team defensively and, you know, being able to get off the field against good offensive teams, which they have not proven yet. You know, they were not able to get off the field against Tampa. They were not able to get off the field against Cincinnati. They were not able to get off the field against Baltimore. Against Chicago and Carolina and Cleveland and Arizona and the Giants, they couldn't even get off the field really against the Giants in week two because, you know, what were there? There's a punt and a turnover for the Giants. I think that was basically it. And a fourth down stop because they couldn't kick field goals. But we don't have what you just said. I'm like, yo, what would the matchup of Washington Green Bay look like? What would a matchup between, what if Washington had Detroit on the road this week on their schedule, just because they had the NFC North this year as, you know, as a division that they were playing? That would really, to me, Pittsburgh, not so much. Philly, yes, but offense, you know, Atlanta, depending on where they are at the end of the year, that could be a real test defensively against an offense that is capable, you know, of being explosive and of possessing the ball. But man, what does it look like against the best two teams in the NFC, which, or the best three? Let's put San Francisco into that conversation if they get healthy. What does the matchup look like against Detroit, Green Bay, and San Francisco? Because you know what? We're probably going to be talking about, at some point in January, the matchup between Washington against Detroit or Washington against the Packers or Washington against the 49ers.
And I'd rather see of those three the Packers. The 49ers, assuming they get healthy.
I agree with that.
They're going to be scary. Detroit is the team that I fear the most right now in the NFC just because it looks like offensively they don't have flaws. Now, who knows, by the time if we do get the inevitable matchup between them and our squad, maybe they look a little bit different. Maybe something, you know, bounces them off the track that they're on. But right now, if you're giving me one of those three, like, I would take Green Bay and I wouldn't think twice about
it. What if I threw Philly into that? We'll obviously know what it'll look like with Philly because they will have played twice. But right now, we don't know what it'll look like against Philly. What if I threw Philly into the Detroit, Green Bay, San Francisco? Obviously, healthy San Francisco, healthy Green Bay. Who's the team that you'd want to face the most?
I would still take Green Bay. So, like, the reason right now why I would favor Green Bay is maybe partially a little bit of ignorance just because I'm not as familiar with them as I am the other three options. But I know those other three options. In Detroit, you have Amon-Ra St. Brown. In Philadelphia, you have A.J. Brown, that basically squandered a career already of Emmanuel Forbes, and then Devontae Smith, and then potentially in San Francisco, you have Debo Samuel and George Kittle. With Green Bay, they have good wide receivers, but they don't have anybody.
We don't know about them.
We don't know about them, right.
But
they don't have anybody
good.
That scares me the same way that some of those other guys do, given what this team currently has in their defensive backfield. And who knows, maybe that changes in a week or two with some of the moves that Adam Peters has been rumored to be calling about. But as of right now, just looking at those options versus who's in our secondary, I would favor a matchup with Green Bay over seeing Philly for what would likely be a third time.
Yeah, just so we understand, Green Bay has weapons, all right?
Definitely.
Reed, number 11, is a weapon. Wicks and Watson are weapons. You know, Romeo Doubs playing much better this year. They've got a tight end in Kraft who's playing well. They obviously have Josh Jacobs in the backfield who is playing well. You know, I think the interesting thing about Green Bay right now is just they have to keep Jordan Love healthy because they are the best right now. Fully healthy, they're a better defensive team than Detroit, with Detroit having Aiden Hutchinson gone. They may have been a better defensive team than Detroit anyway. We're going to know about the Philadelphia matchups. We're not going to know about San Francisco, Detroit, and Green Bay until we get there. Big assumption until we get there. I think the Packers are really, really well coached, too. I really do. And Detroit, you know, whatever you say about Campbell, there's a vibe there that's, you know, right now they're just kicking you know what and taking names. And the 49ers, if they're healthy, I actually, of those three teams, Denton, a fully healthy San Francisco team, I don't think there's a chance in hell we could stop them from scoring 30-plus.
When you say fully healthy, are you including McCaffrey in there,
yeah,
I'm assuming.
Of course.
Yeah, but obviously, no Brandon Ayuk in that, but that's still that's a terrible matchup.
That's right. I forgot about their loss of Ayuk. That is a big loss for them.
Right. By the way, Jordan Love did not participate in Wednesday's practice in Green Bay. Just something to keep an eye on as far as their conversation long term goes.
They do have Ricky Pearsall as an emerge, you know, as a guy that they are playing now in, you know, in that Ayuk role. But hey, we got a long way to go. This is going to be fun. This is the first time in a long time. And I'm not talking about the 2022. It was that game against the Giants on Sunday night. I mean, I think we kind of forget. We were pretty pumped up for that game. That game was essentially for a playoff spot. And, you know, the 2020 end, I mean, I barely even remember the game against Philadelphia to win the division. But this is, you're talking about having a team that's good before the halfway mark. We have not had that in so long. And that sets up for high-profile, meaningful games. Somebody said this to me yesterday, and I forget who it was. They said, imagine, like, you know, let's just say they win 10 this year. They go to the playoffs. Maybe they win a game, lose a game, whatever it is. Imagine the primetime schedule they're going to have next year with Jaden Daniels. They're going to be right there at the top of the league.
They're going to be treated like the Jets.
They'll have the six primetime games next year. Get ready for that. But Let's get to the 10 first, 10 plus first, and a couple of playoff games. I'm a little bit skeptical about Minnesota, who we've had in top fives here recently. You know, Darnold right now, I was looking at a bunch of advanced numbers last night. Darnold really holds the ball way too long. His sack percentage is way too high right now. I think they are next to last, and I think Cleveland is, you know, the leader because Deshaun Watson really got sacked a bunch. But in terms of sack percentage, Darnold just gets sacked too much. He just holds it too long. They've got to run the football. They've got to have play action and bootleg and that working. He's not good under pressure. That's where I'd be worried about Minnesota. I think defensively also, you see great variance in defense, even within a season. They were lights out early, and here in the last couple of games, they've been run on. You know, the Rams ran on the Vikings last Thursday night. Yeah, Kyron Williams had, you know, close to 100 yards, I think. The Lions ran on them the week before, you know. So that's interesting just to watch Minnesota. They've lost two games in a row. People were talking about how easy the schedule was after a difficult start to the schedule. And, you know, they've lost, you know, to the Lions, that's fine at home, but to the Rams on the road, and all of a sudden people are questioning their run defense and they're questioning Sam Darnold. That Sunday night game is an interesting game. You know, the Colts can run the football with Jonathan Taylor. And then if you're running the football, Flacco, they've got enough weapons. What is that point spread Sunday night? It's got to be 6, 5,
it's 7. Minnesota, 5.5.
5.5? Kind of like Indy. I think we're going to see a little bit of Minnesota coming back to the pack here. That'd be the one team. Give me the team right now that's got a really good record that you see coming back to the pack.
Well, Minnesota is definitely the big one, and I would say Denver right now has a very similar record to Minnesota at 5-3. I do think they'll balance out a little bit because, as we discussed earlier this week, their next three games are really tough, but those would be the top two options. Maybe Houston,
give me
too.
The team right now that's sub-500 that makes the playoffs.
Oh, sub-500. Let me look through these real quick. God, there's a lot of 500 teams in the NFC.
Well, let's say 500 or less, because there are several 500 teams in the NFC.
I think
NFC West has three 500 teams at the top. Arizona, the 49ers, and Seattle are all 4-4, and the Rams are 3-4. But
yeah, I would say the Rams.
Still thinking Cincinnati?
I feel good about Cincinnati. You know, thankfully they've already played the Ravens, so they don't have to play them twice. But they effectively have to win 7 of the next 9 games, and they do have some tough ones. I mean, they got the Raiders. That's not going to be exceptionally tough. But then they got two. They got one against Baltimore. They got two against Pittsburgh. They got one against Dallas. And the Chargers in there too. So like that's kind of a tough stretch to say, hey, you have to win 7 out of the next 9. I would feel more confident about Los Angeles now that everyone's healthy and Cooper Kupp is off the trade market. Which is a pretty good sign that they're gonna go ahead and give it a run.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. I think that division will be fascinating to watch. They've got a big one Sunday in Seattle. All right. We'll get to some Denton news when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Hitting the news you might have missed. It's Denton's Daily News.
All right, Denton, what do you got?
All right, let's start in the NBA. We weren't expecting a lot of Wizards win this season. They're already 2-2. They beat the Hawks again, so they've only beat the Hawks, but they beat them twice. 133-120. Bilal Coulibaly, 27 points on 11 of 14 shooting, 3 of 5 from three-point range. Jonas Valanciunas had 22 off the bench. Watch out, Wizards getting hot.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this briefly in the open. I think Coulibaly is really going to be a very good player. And if you're, you know, If you're a Wizards fan, and I am, I'm a Bullets Wizards fan lifelong, and this is going to be a hard period over the next few years as they are, you know, tearing it down and and building it back up. But if you're going to, you know, tune in every once in a while, there's a reason to. Coulibaly is special. Like, I'm not talking about elite, you know, top 5 player, but I am talking about a guy that 3-4 years from now could be a top 15, top 20 player in the league and one of the best two-way players in the league. And the other players that they drafted, the, you know, the players in their first year off of the 24 draft, Sar, Carrington, and George, they look pretty decent too. I mean, long way to go. We're only four games into their rookie season. But Koulibaly really, I mean, he's 20 years old. I think the experience, the Olympic experience with France was probably a good one for him. But, you know, as he continues to physically mature and really get to understand the game, he's fun to watch. And he's fun to watch on both ends of the floor. He is an absolute, at times, shutdown defender. Yeah, I mean, I don't want the Wizards to, you know, win 29 games or 33 games. You know, I don't want that. I don't want the in-between. I want the best shot at the number one overall pick with a player like Cooper Flagg in it. With that said, you know, you just don't know in the NBA draft. Jokic was a second rounder. You know, Kawhi Leonard was picked 15th. Giannis was picked, 14th or whatever it was. We've seen the superstar players not be the number one overall. But when you have a player that so many people are convinced about being, you know, sort of a transcendent star, it's be nice to have a shot at him. I give them credit. They've won two straight games, and the truth is they were, you know, they played the two best teams in the East to start the season in Boston and Cleveland. You know, Cleveland's undefeated. Boston, does Boston have a loss? I don't know. So we'll see whether or not they end up being better than we think. Long way to go. But, yeah, Cleveland's 5-0, Boston's 4-1. Cleveland beat Boston last night. That was...
They beat them. Pretty big, right?
Yeah. No, they beat him in overtime. It was a Siakam shot, I think, late in overtime. I think I saw that.
That was Indiana. Cleveland beat Los Angeles, which is where I wanted Indiana, to go.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Cleveland blew out the Lakers last night. My fault.
Yeah, they blew out the Lakers.
Bronny, by the way, got his first bucket.
That's where we were going to go next. He did get his first bucket. And LeBron James, so I'm sure you have seen these sorts of memes before, but LeBron James on social media is pretty notable for lying. It's like weird lies, though. It's not like anything blatant or out of control. It's like weird lies. And he gave one of the best weird LeBron lies ever, which he said that he doesn't think he would have performed as well as Bronny did last night in the situation. Bronny played 5 minutes. He was one of two.
Well, I mean, okay. Well, it's his son. He's gonna have a slightly jaded view, but also an encouraging view. I don't know. Can Bronny play? I have no idea. They got blown out last night. He got into the game late, and has he played much at all? You know who's played a bunch? And you and I talked about this.
Before. I wanted this dude so bad on the Wizards. Connect. He had 18 off the bench, 6 of 12. He's a dude. He's gonna work his way into their lineup sooner rather than later.
All right, what else?
All right, we talked a little bit about Major League Baseball. Dodgers and the MLB season last night with a 7-6 win in Game 5 over the Yankees to win the World Series. Freddie Freeman, World Series MVP. And I teased this briefly, but I want to play this for you, Kevin. This is Juan Soto after the game. He was originally asked if he expects the Mets to go after him in free agency.
I mean, I don't know what's the teams that want to come after me, but definitely, I'll be open to listen every single team. I don't have any doors closed or anything like that. So, are we going to be available for all 30 teams?
So why do you
think it's weird that?
Yes.
I mean, he literally just lost the World Series.
I do, but it's also Juan Soto, and everybody that's ever been around him says just the best of intentions. And he was asked the question. All right, let's start with that.
Right.
He didn't, you know, he didn't start talking about being a free agent. He was asked about it, which is the number one question in the offseason right now in the entire sport. But if you're saying that, would it have been better for him to say, yeah, I don't want to really discuss that right now. We just lost the World Series. I'm dealing with that. That probably is a better answer. Yes.
But so that's not the direction I was going to go. What I was instead going to do is look back at his current teammate, former Astros pitcher Gerrit Cole. Remember when Gerrit Cole, that final year where they played the Nationals in the World Series and they lose in game seven. And one of the biggest talking points out of the Astros locker room is how Gerrit Cole notably has no Astros gear on. I find it fascinating how quickly baseball players can seemingly transition from like a heartbreaking, gut-wrenching loss to then looking ahead immediately, because everybody knew that Gerrit Cole was not going to be staying in Houston. They didn't have the money for him, and everyone figured he was going to be a Yankee. But this is now another star player, and I'm sure you could pull other examples of this over the years. But guys in baseball have this, they have this ability to really just kind of leave the past in the past immediately and transition into whatever's next when it comes to free agency.
Didn't LeBron rip his Cleveland jersey off after they lost to the Celtics in Game 6?
Oh, yeah, that was theatrical.
Going off the floor?
Yeah, that was...
I remember that one. I don't know. Look, you know what? For him and Scott Boras, does any of it really matter? Does anything matter? Like, it's not like it's going to cost him any real money. There are 30 teams, probably 20 of which will certainly desire, 30 teams desire to have him. You know, 20 will probably make overtures, and there are probably three or four that'll get into a bidding war over it, and he's going to end up with a contract that is fully guaranteed for between $700 and $800+ million.
Do you really think he gets that much?
I think so. I was listening to all the guys talk last night. I watched a lot of the post game after the game last night, and you know, guys like Carl Ravitch and others were saying this is going to be a number with a 7 or an 8 in front of it. I mean, who cares if it's a 6 or a 5? I mean, these guys. I'll tell you what, when you start talking about baseball players and that kind of money, all of these football players that could have played baseball played the wrong sport. I mean, it's such a massive, massive disparity in money. And it's guaranteed, fully guaranteed. And you don't get your brains beat out. Son, especially left-handed sons, let's get you out, start working on that pitching. I mean, God, that is insane money. It's, you know, he did not have a great series. You know, the best players for the Yankees actually kind of came up a bit small in the World Series specifically. He had a home run in what, Game 2, and that was it. After you know, a phenomenal series against Cleveland in the ALCS.
Yeah, he had 41 homers this year. That's crazy.
What was he? He was 4 for 13 in the series with one RBI. I mean, Freddie Freeman had 12 RBIs for the series. Didn't he?
Yeah,
didn't he tie the record for the most RBIs in a World Series?
Yeah,
in five games.
Remember, Juan Soto also got them there in that Cleveland game.
No, I understand. Well, yes, he did. Stanton had the best postseason for the Yankees offensively. How many home runs did Stanton hit in the playoffs? 6, 5? He had another one last night.
He did. I can't get over how slow.
Seven
he
home runs. He had 7 home runs.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah. 7 home runs, 16 RBIs for Stanton, and Soto had what, 2 homers in the postseason? Something like that.
Including that walk-off in Game 5.
4 home runs, excuse me. He had 4 home runs. Yeah, the game, that last Game 5 against Cleveland was awesome. That bat was awesome. The whole thing was awesome. He's great. You know, he loved here, by the way.
I'm holding out hope that he's going to make his return here. I know the learners don't have, if it's like a 7, they don't have that kind of money. But I also, like, I tend to think that now is when you're going to hear the highest numbers. Because remember, everybody said Manny Machado and Bryce were going to get like $500 million. And then Manny got 3 and Bryce got 330 on like a 13-year deal. So I think Juan Soto's going to get in the 5s. I don't think he's going to get a 6 or a 7. I mean, that's a 7. Who has $700 million outside of 2 teams, 3 teams in this league?
Yeah, well, guess what? They're going to focus on those 2 or 3 teams, and Washington is not one of those 2 or 3 teams. He's going to end up playing in New York. He's going to end up playing either with the Mets or the Yankees because he got a taste of what it means in that city, what baseball means in that city.
I hope he goes to San Francisco, you know, if he's not here.
Say again?
I hope he goes to San Francisco. play in that ballpark.
What about L.A.?
God, no, please. What, Mookie Betts, Ohtani, and Juan Soto with Clayton Kershaw?
Jeez, hey, Ohtani didn't do anything in the World Series. I know he was hurt.
Yeah, yeah, that broken forearm.
But he didn't do anything in the World Series except have catcher interference last night. God, that game was just it was so bad, but it was so great. It was just the drama of it was incredible, that fifth inning. All right, what else do you have?
So it's Halloween, and every candy list in the world ranks Reese's as the number one Halloween candy. Do you agree with that?
Which Reese's? Reese's Pieces? Reese's
the peanut butter cups. They've been like the number one ranked Halloween candy for what feels like 20 years.
Yeah, I know that's true. It's not my number one.
It's not mine either.
What's your number one?
I mean, I prefer Snickers, and I'm like, I like the fruity candies. So, like, if you get me some Starburst, Laffy Taffy, Lifesaver gummies, I used to trick or treat with older kids, and the older kids would always want the Reese's cups. So I'd trade my Reese's cups for like Laffy Taffies. So I'm more like the fruity candy kind of guy. I like Reese's, but it's become obnoxious that they're always the number one ranked thing.
So I think forever my number one was Kit Kat. But actually, what I really love now are frozen Snickers. Frozen Snickers and frozen peanut butter M&Ms. That, in terms of like, the problem with frozen candy, period, you can't stop eating it. If you eat it unfrozen, you max out. But Kit Kat used to be my number one. I would say right now, Snickers frozen is my number one.
I do love a good frozen 100 grand bar.
Oh, the 100 grand bars used to be really good.
Nobody loved the 100 grands growing up, so I would take all. Like, my brother didn't like them, so I would take them all and be in heaven for, like, 3 days.
You could make 100 grand if you're in paper working for I don't know. Halloween used to be such a big deal when the kids were young. Now it's just, I don't know, it's another night.
I was going
to
ask, you're not dressing up tonight, are you?
No.
Do you pass out the candy, or are you guy that leaves
candy.
The bowl and
we got
in
candy
front?
for people to come by? Yeah, I mean, I'm not the I don't know about how many of your neighborhoods out there, like, you have the one house where, well, you have the house that just leaves it out in a basket. I mean, obviously, big mistake. I mean, kid that gets there, it's over.
You're getting wrecked.
But then you have the dad that wants to just, you know, the movie size, you know, Hershey bars or candy bars. Oh, my God, Mr. Jones has the big, big movie size candy bars. All right, enough of that. I mean, how many are you really going to hand out of those? But I think we'll have probably Snickers and Kit Kat bars handing them out so that whatever doesn't get handed out goes right into the freezer and through the rest of the weekend, I total them. But if frozen M&Ms, frozen peanut butter M&Ms have become a go-to in our house. There are always frozen M&Ms, peanut M&Ms in our freezer, along with too much ice cream. But other than that, I wanted you to get to that Anthony Richardson Flacco story.
The one about him getting benched in favor of,
yeah,
of
and
Joe
that
Flacco?
They've named Flacco. Shane Steichen said Flacco for the year.
Yeah, it's going to be Flacco for the year. Yeah.
Real quickly, because we're running out of time and we've got a guest next. There's a lot of discussion about how they're just not patient anymore. Teams aren't patient. I get that. You know, Bryce Young, all these quarterbacks come in. You've got all these quarterbacks that were drafted high that have basically almost washed out already. First of all, I would never say washed out because we've seen it as NFL fans. These guys end up figuring it out, and then all of a sudden a career's been resurrected way down the road. Witness Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield. But there are players. There are players, and only the organizations understand this, where you do cut bait. You do move on because there's no upside in staying the course. You know, there's a lot of due diligence done on these players. There's no doubt. But there's a lot that they don't know until these people get into their building. And if you get somebody into your building and you are convinced, whether it's physically, mentally, whatever it is, that this one is just way, way a long shot. I mean, nice kid, has some talent. We messed up. You are much better off admitting that and moving on. I'm not saying that that's what the Colts did with Anthony Richardson. I'm just saying the discussion that says there's only one way to view it, and that is teams are now ruining these young quarterbacks because of their impatience, lack of patience. Well, some of these decisions are the right decisions and are saving these organizations a lot of time. When you make a mistake, it's much better to admit it sooner rather than later. And these guys in these organizations, in many cases, have a good sense to when they have really messed it up. And it's not one size fits all. There are plenty of examples, I'm sure, where teams probably stuck in there too long. Caps back at it tonight, the hottest team in hockey. We'll talk. Tarik El-Bashir will be with us to talk some Puck next, then we'll get back to football right after that. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.